Welcome back to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. This weekend in High Point will be the first time a USA Cycling National Championship has ever come to our fair state. That's great news for cycling fans and, as it turns out, art enthusiasts. In addition to hosting both the women's and men's Pro National Criterium Championships, the area surrounding the downtown transportation terminal in High Point will come alive with bicycling-inspired art. Theater Art Galleries in the High Point Theater presents The Bicycle, Art Meets Form, an invitational exhibition juried by Green Hill Center's Edie Carpenter. Opening reception is Friday, July 26th at 5:30 in the main and hallway galleries. There's five leading lights of custom bicycle frame building with some of the world's finest and their amazing frames on site, including Italy's renowned builder Dario Pegoretti. Vintage bikes from the 1930s onward will be on display too, plus there'll be live music, fun for kids, and a whole lot more. Mach Orange Bikes owner Chip Duckett is also a cycler, partner in a professional cycling team, and vintage bike collector himself. The North Carolina native has brought all of these interests together in helping lure professional cycling to High Point. He was joined by Theater Art Gallery's executive director and High Point native, Jeff Horney.
We have four gallery spaces there in the High Point Theater, and so we change those over 4 to 5 times a year. So we do exhibits, and we also do arts education. We've got 12 summer camps going on right now. We've got Art en Español summer camps for kids, where the kids are being taught art in Spanish, you know, to Hispanic kids for 2 weeks on top of other things we're doing. So we're anxious in getting out beyond the walls of the High Point Theater as well. But a lot of opportunity, and we're just, the more resources we can get, the more we can accomplish.
That's right. We're certainly going to get a lot of visibility through this event because it seems like the Cycling Classic, the Criterion, is going to bring folks from all over the country, all over the world.
That we're going to have a lot of cyclist enthusiasts who may not have been in the galleries before, and they're going to come, they're going to have a good time, and they're going to come back.
And at the end of the day, I think you hit the nail on the head. That is the purpose of these surrounding events, is to bring exposure of different interests to others from different segments. So it may be the new 20-year-old who's racing a carbon bike, brings him to vintage bikes, that gives exposure to a theater arts gallery, that brings awareness of someone who supported Theater Arts Gallery to Dario Pegoretti from Italy. It's combining all these interests in cycling and visual arts, and that is the focus. And I have to add, Jeff being part of Theater Arts Gallery has just been an incredible gift to that organization and has reinvigorated it, and my hat's off to him.
This whole issue of bringing the USA Cycling Professional Criterium National Championships to downtown High Point, y'all beat out Austin, Texas, Boulder, Colorado, a couple of bike racing meccas. How did you do it? What sold them?
Honestly, I think it's the facilities. It's very unique. High Point hosts the International Furniture Market, the largest market of its kind in the world, or trade show in the world, twice a year. And so there's tremendous facilities that are used for round figures 6 months a year, maybe 8 at most, and otherwise sit dormant. And the transportation terminal, in conjunction with all of the showrooms, the space available, great street layouts, video for security that we can use for camera streaming for internet. I would say that more than anything was probably the ace in the hole and the ability already in place to host a large event.
And this is really the realization of a dream for the whole community, I'm sure. I want to set the scene so folks who have no background at all with that sort of environment and with the Criterion going on and lots of activities for families, for kids, and food. Set the scene for us, Jeff.
Well, let me touch on the exhibits that we're going to have in the galleries. We're having a juried invitational exhibit. We've got great response from artists really from all over the country. Most of the artists regional. Most of it comes from within driving distance of North Carolina, but we've got art from California, New York, Michigan, even Canada coming in. We've got 36 artists who are juried in, about 52 pieces of art, an incredible variety of pieces, all kinds of two-dimensional art, but also three-dimensional art, some great photography. We have an artist in Greensboro, Patricia Cook, who does full-size figures sculpted from recycled tires, which is really interesting. We've got some great photography. We've got a couple from High Point who are both cycling enthusiasts, Julie and Paul Passant, and they are both photographers, and they both have worked juried into the show. We have Zach Lale, who actually works at Mike Orange,
yeah,
I believe.
He's our manager.
And he's done a great piece called In Flight. It's a large bird, soaring bird, made all out of recycled bicycle parts.
And Zach has made a good number of the artistic bike racks that are downtown. In fact, I'm afraid he's going to get so good he's going to leave Mike Orange. But it's really awesome to see, you know, that and the integration of these things. And even like Paul and Julie, you know, they're helping as team liaisons with the race as well. So there are a lot of pieces that come together.
This vintage bike show, old historic bikes, talk us from the early beginnings into what were some of the biggest advances and where do you begin when you say vintage? How far back does it go?
Certainly into the 1800s.
Yeah.
Most of these are called vintage lightweights. Mm. So it's collectors who collect primarily race bikes. And so you're starting to see most of those around the turn of the century. I don't know what will be the oldest bike you'll see, but certainly some from the 30s. From all over the world, France, Italy, number of collectors in the U.S. And this evolved in part out of my friendship with Dale Brown, who owns Cycles d'Oro in Greensboro. Again, people would think we're competitors. The reality is we're great friends and have worked on a number of things. But he is very, very influential in the vintage bike world and collecting, has taught me a lot and asked him to become involved with it. And so he's lent credibility and resources and has enabled us to draw these bikes. A large portion will be from the 60s and 70s, what we consider the cutoff date currently for vintage bike, or what we call classic rendezvous period, is 1984. And then there are things called keepers of the flame, who would be the equivalent of the builders that will be in the theater galleried with Jeff's art, and they build hand-built steel bikes, although one of them will be a guy named Nick Crumpton, and those are carbon bikes. Mm. But they're all handmade, one-offs, and you really just have to see them to appreciate them. And then we'll have builders in Showplace, which we call the custom handcrafted bikes. Well, that's an extension of the five leading lights. It's just bringing more people in. But these bikes, of course, I'm biased, but they're quite incredible, and I think in their own right are an art form. I mean, it's a functional art form or an artistic functional form, however you want to look at it.
Sure.
In fact, most of these bikes are ridden.
How was it made by hand, and especially using today's modern materials, how you join these pieces and what's involved?
For instance, even the tubes originally were hand-formed and rolled from pieces of steel. The bottom brackets that the various tubes insert into are initially hand-forged and then machine-forged. But they're hand-filed, hand-cut, measured, hand-painted. Dario Pegoretti from Italy, he's very much known for his artistic frame painting. And in fact, he's going to have a very special paint job as it pertains to art and music in High Point. And that'll hit as the event comes around. You know, and if you go back to the earlier bikes, then you had handmade wooden rims, spokes that were handmade, and then, of course, production over time. So how does a carbon bike become handmade? Well, there's layups. There's some that are what we call lugged, where the head tube piece, the bottom bracket, shell, they are for tube insertion. Well, and then some people do layups and carbon wraps, but they're all done. I mean, and it's so amazing that different pieces, different types of metal, different sizes, different thicknesses of steel can make an incredibly different ride and feel. And certainly the geometries have a huge bearing on how the bike is used.
These are not just makers. You mentioned Dario. I mean, these are some of the best makers in the world.
Yeah, we're very fortunate. We have five builders coming. Dario Pegoretti from Italy, Peter Weigel from Lyme, Connecticut, Mark DiNucci from Grants Pass, Oregon, Dave Wages from Wisconsin, and Nick Crumpton from Texas. He's from Austin. And they, in their own light, are really leaders in their field. To have Dario Pegoretti here, and for that matter, Peter Weigel, is an incredible honor that they would come. And I have to really give hats off to Dario because he is sought after worldwide. And I guess he saw the vision. He really liked what we were trying to bring together. And I can tell you, even from an email I received today, he is just incredibly excited to be here. He's really excited about the entire event, about the gallery, about the races, you know. And some of the vintage guys, they're not excited about carbon bikes. In fact, many of them would just, it's anathema to them. And yet, I think it's important to expose them to this as well, so that it is the mix. But it's an incredible list that, again, you might see in New York City or somewhere else, and that he's here. It is along the lines of the Crits themselves. Why High Point? And I would say, why not?
The neon lights are flashing in the rear view of my car. I've been tearing down this highway, burning out like a shooting star.
It looks like a real feast for the eyes.
It will be. The whole name of our exhibit is The Bicycle, Art Meets Form. We didn't come up with that. That's not Tag's name. That was actually Chip and his group came up with that name. So, you know, they're looking at bikes as art. Before we even came along, I said, that's perfect. You know, I think that's, you know, that's what we should use for our exhibit. So we have one entire gallery that will be set aside for the five leading lights, and they will be beautifully displayed with bikes and frames and some other memorabilia on some custom wooden plinths, and it's going to be beautifully exhibited.
And I appreciate you all going all art all the time here, but I realize this is a sport, and this is an incredibly competitive sport. What is a Criterion? And for those who've never seen one, could you describe it for us?
Sure. It's simply a closed course. Ours will be approximately 1.3 miles. 7/10 of a mile would be the minimum. And so the beauty is, envision NASCAR, you can see the racers coming round. And so as opposed to a tour like Tour de France, which is day races and it's stage to stage, this is all in one place. And people would say, well, it's only 2 hours of racing. Yes, but it's an incredible 2 hours of racing. But from a fan perspective, it's awesome because you can stay down there and participate. There are a number of things with inside the races which make it exciting. And then, of course, visually, we'll have large video screens which will allow you to see the entire race from the same location. But a crit is very high-paced. Think of these racers, top speeds maybe reaching 45, 50 on Centennial, an average speed well above 30. And when you think of 75 to 100 racers elbow to elbow, it's impressive.
Put me in the mind of the rider for a minute, Chip. I'm just going to use an example. When they did a route around, they had one around Haynes Park area
yes.
a few years back. I was struck, number one, by the speed coming down off that slope, amazed that they made the turn every time in packs. But the distance between the pedals oftentimes was just a matter of an inch or two.
Yes.
What's it like in that dynamic, and how do they maintain that without wiping out more frequently, I guess?
Great question, and part of it leads to what makes these guys professional. Well, they have risen through the ranks of categorized racing and have, not unlike a NASCAR racer, you know, there are a few that filter out that are special. And so these guys are able to race at those speeds that close. Do they think about the person beside them? Maybe, maybe not. If you're thinking about it too much, you're not there.
Is it just a feeling at that point? I mean, you've been there.
Well, in a trusting, you know, these guys have raced together and these women have raced together. Part of it is a comfort with who's beside you, where you are there. And that's part of the racing, is trying to put yourself in positions to sprint, to attack, not be in the middle of the pack, safer areas. And in a crit, the teams will protect their main riders. That's not unlike the tour. There will be people working such that at the end, their sprinters have a chance.
The quality of these races, and not just men, but women as well. This is
yes.
an unusual venue in that respect.
Well, and we're very proud. We agreed over a year and a half ago to host both the men's and women's national championships together. It's the first time it's ever been done in the U.S. that they're held the same time, same city. And we also agreed for the first time to pay equal purses. And our feeling is that in their own right, they each have excitement and fun and bring things to the table. So that is unique. So having both is going to be very exciting.
Hey, Jeff, what are you looking forward to most?
I think it's going to be fun. I think we're going to have big crowds. We're going to have a lot of music. There's going to be good food. I think it's going to be a really upbeat weekend for High Point. That's what we're all working toward. There'll be music both Friday night and Saturday night all day. There'll be a kids zone. So it's a very family-oriented affair. A lot of inflatables, and Tag's going to be having, you know, some spin art and some other fun things lined up as well. But I think it's going to be a good, fun, upbeat weekend.
When you say there's going to be music, we're not talking about just music, because those are great bands. Soul Fusion, I was just checking them out online.
And it goes like this. Take my tongue and I know you. Kiss me.
So just great high energy, funk dance tunes. And then Nipso Trio was a new one for me, but great acoustic trio. These folks know, we got mandolin, upright bass, and guitar, and wonderful voice. It's like that kind of raw acoustic, but with a nice edge to it.
Well, Mipso is Joseph Terrell is a member, and he is from High Point. He went to high school with my son and was a Morehead Scholar, and they got together at Carolina, and they're on a fast ascension. In fact, they were very gracious to hang around. They are going to be in an international bluegrass festival in Japan that they were invited to, and they're hanging around for a couple days to play. So I don't know what they'll be, but they're great kids, and we're very excited. So that's going to be a fun Friday night, which is just a lead-in. There's no racing Friday. It's just a party, fun downtown, many things, including the movie Breaking Away at the theater.
Oh, it's a great
movie. Just bringing all these things together, and people can pick their fun. And then the lead-in is the Saturday, and the idea behind Soul Fusion Saturday was, you know, a cover band that is absolutely fun, fast, and furious, just like the racing. So when the racing ends, we have 2 hours of high-energy music so that there's a party after the race is under the terminal. And that was the thought process. We'll see, but we're excited.
And the big opening for our exhibits will be Friday night. And so we hope everybody will come out, and we're sponsored by Newbridge, and we appreciate their generosity.
Absolutely. All right. And the best part about everything we've talked about, it's free. We're not charging the public 1 cent. For one thing, the only thing we need is people be engaged and come enjoy.
Mock Orange Bikes owner Chip Duckett and Theater Art Gallery's executive director Jeff Horney. TAG presents The Bicycle, Art Meets Form, an invitational exhibition juried by Green Hill Center's Edie Carpenter. The opening reception is Friday, July 26th at 5:30 in the main and hallway galleries. There's 5 leading lights of custom bicycle frame building with some of the world's finest and their amazing frames on site, including Italy's renowned builder Dario Pegoretti. Vintage bikes from the 1930s onward will be on display too, plus there'll be live music, fun for kids, and much more. On Saturday, get set for the national championship races and after-race party with Soul Fusion. The fun continues throughout the weekend, and you'll find links to all of the activities at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and we're going to take another short break right now. When we return, it's Karoff at the Keyboard and everything you ever wanted to know about dynamics in music, but we're afraid to ask. Then organist extraordinaire Ray Ebert is here to explore the tones and colors of organs in Winston-Salem. It's an embarrassment of riches, and he's pulling out all the stops next when Triad Arts Weekend continues.